you want more time, money, freedom, and have a business that's not reliant on you, then you're in the right place. Each week, Mark Creedon, along with some of the very best business minds in the world, will take you through simple, practical steps you can take to create the business you always wanted. From his own practical experience, Mark will show you how to work less, make more, and get the business you always wanted, the one that you deserve. Now here's your host, one of Australia's most sought-after business coaches, Mark Creedon.
All right, welcome back to the next episode of the Mastermind for Business podcast. Hey, in this episode, I'm going to talk to my business partner and good mate, Brett Warren. We're going to be talking about if you've got somebody in your business in sort of in a senior role and you'd really like to help them to step up even further, then you are absolutely in the right place today. That's what we're going to be talking to Brett about. Good morning, mate.
Hey, Mark. Good to be with you.
Fantastic. Brett, let's talk about you and your journey at Metropole. How long have you been with Metropole now?
Yeah, just over 13 years.
Right. And in that 13 years, you've gone from being a buyer's agent to sort of a senior buyer's agent to a property strategist to a director to an equity holder and now to a national director of the business.
Yeah, been quite a journey.
Has been a journey, mate. And it's been a privilege to sort of, you know, watch you along that journey. There's a couple of things I'd like to talk about. And that is, what had to change in your thinking to enable you to continue to step up? And then the second part is, what do you think had to change in terms of the, you know, the management of Metropole in their thinking toward you to enable you to step up? Let's start with the first one. What had to change for you?
For me, look, I always had a great self-belief in what I could do, and I really enjoy embracing new challenges. And I think that's probably explains the longevity, you know, the 13 years, because every, as you said, every two or three years is another step up, another opportunity. So I think the opportunity has to be there. But also with yourself, you know, you've got to learn new things and I guess discover new things about yourself. And there's always things you know, but there's also things you don't know. And I guess working with someone who has a blind spot to see those types of things and can bring you along for that journey and show you, give you a bit of a peek about what's going to be required to get to that next level. I'm lucky to have people like yourself and Michael around me that give me that insight as to what's next, and then I can educate myself and learn new things to get there.
So there was always this desire, right, on your part. There was always this desire to learn new things, to step up to the next level. But there had to be, Brett, there had to be an element of not just sort of coaching or mentorship, but there had to be an element of somebody painting a picture for you, because if you didn't see that was going to be a possibility, it would have been hard to maintain that level of momentum, would it not?
Absolutely. Particularly early on, I didn't have a lot of mentors early on, you know, in the business. So I guess I created my own pathway, yeah. You know, just from what I was doing and trying to force myself to step up and see and get people to see me in that kind of role. And then, you know, more recently, my mentors and people have kind of encouraged me, embraced me and painted that picture for me. Yeah. Particularly. Yeah.
All right. So you've had to maintain momentum. You've had to keep looking to the next stage, looking at what you need to learn, getting mentoring. Let's talk about what had to change from Metropole's point of view. Did you have to keep sort of, you know, what was a path laid out for you? Did you have to keep, you know, pushing the envelope, sticking your hand up?
It's a really good question. I think, you know, sometimes you get pigeonholed as a certain type of role or person because you've been doing it for so long and people don't give you the opportunity to step up and see another side. But yeah, certainly, look, as I said early on, that there probably wasn't a pathway there. I kind of had to keep knocking the door down and pushing for different opportunities. And then once I had those opportunities, I guess the people around me helped me grow in that journey and see that I was, I guess, flexible and moldable and could learn those types of things to step up to other levels and hence more opportunities started to present themselves.
It's interesting, mate, that you say that, you know, sometimes you have people around you who have more skills than you might initially notice. So, I mean, now, for somebody listening to this podcast now in their business, one of the things I'd always encourage you, have a look around at the people around you, because you might have the right people. It doesn't necessarily mean they're in the right seats, and that there might be potential to bring somebody on that journey. I suppose that kind of the flip side of that is that sometimes people are in the wrong seats as well, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I, one thing, you know, early on we had a lot of issues with franchisees and working Metropole Brisbane. But I always loved what I did. I had a passion for what I did. I always knew I liked property, and I liked, more importantly, I actually liked helping people. And that was a big role that I really enjoyed doing. And I kind of feel like as I've progressed, I'm now helping more and more people, which is really, really important for me. So you've got to find someone who is passionate about what they're doing. And if they're not in the right role, sometimes that may not work.
So what I'm hearing is you find someone who's passionate about what they do, and that's a great way of getting them to step up to the next level of the business. But maybe the passion that mightn't be there, it might not be that they're not passionate. It might just be that they're not passionate about the particular role they're performing. So how do you get around that? I mean, how did that work for you? You were able to show your level of passion for what you were doing.
Yeah, it's a good question. I suppose it's just going through the situation where you're embracing new challenges, you're growing as a person. Sometimes people don't see that, so it's actually quite hard. But you've just got to keep knocking the door down. You've just got to keep presenting yourself. And we've spoken a lot of times. I've been knocked back 2 or 3 times for different roles. You know, it hasn't worked, or you know, not the right person. I just keep performing and keep presenting. And there's a lot of talk, but there's also actions. And as you know, actions are really, really important, especially if you're trying to impress people, because you can talk as much as you like, but unless you're giving the actions, it's not going to come out on top, is it?
Well, I know that deeds, not words, is one of your favorite sayings, and I think I've seen that in you. Let's talk about that for a second, because I think that one of the things I've always admired about you is your resilience. And so, you know, stand outside as a coach, coaching Metropole, I think I saw, you know, potential in you. But I think that there are a number of times you put your hand up and you were sort of gone, you were told no. Mm. But you didn't, you had the option then to sort of go, oh, well, I'll go and fight it somewhere else.
Yeah.
But you didn't, you stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, like I said, I really believed in what we were doing. I believed in the business. I believed in help. I really thought we were helping people. There's a lot of, I guess, competition that probably don't have that belief. They're more sales focused and revenue focused. But I've always had a passion for helping people. I really, really enjoy property, and the two just really work well together. So I wasn't going anywhere. I was just going to keep working harder and keep putting runs on the board, as so to speak. So I was getting noticed, and then the opportunity presented itself.
So again, if we're, you know, somebody listening to this program now is in your position looking to move into management, you can see, you know, resilience, keep knocking on the door, keep putting up, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, deeds, not words. But if somebody's owning a business looking around, I think it's important that you look around and identify those people who are doing what you did. They just keep mm-hmm. turning up, they keep putting up, they keep, you know, resilience and passion as well. Let's diverge for a minute and talk about teamwork. So I can see how you've got to where you are. How important, because I know you come from a solid sporting background as well.
Yep.
Number one player in the under sixes.
That's right. Yeah.
But you do come from an AFL background where you played at a very senior level. I know how important sport is, teamwork is in sport. Mm. How important is it within a business environment?
Oh, it's equally as important. You know, everybody's got to be on the same page. Everybody has their strengths, their weaknesses. You've got to cover that. But everybody should have a common goal as well. And clearly in football, it's winning a flag or a final. But in business, there should be a common goal as well that you all work towards, and you all support each other and you've got each other's back. So I think it's very, very important.
So now that you're in, you know, very senior management within the Metropole Group, let's talk about that teamwork. How have you maintained that teamwork with your team? How do you, because it's easy to say, oh, teamwork's really important, guys. But how do you, again, deeds, not words, how do you actually implement it and support it and keep it going?
Yeah. Look, you've got to make it about your staff and your clients and as well, and not about your own personal goals. You know, I think by helping them to achieve their goals, but, you know, we set goals as a team. We've got each other's back. We also have a lot of fun together. You know, we've kind of implemented opportunities to, you know, I guess, spend a lot more time working together and building culture, which is incredibly important. And then celebrating rewards, you know, don't let rewards go unnoticed. Clearly, if people aren't performing, they've also got to be pulled up. But on the converse to that, you've also got to reward people as well. And I think that's a big part of teamwork as well.
Yeah, reward and acknowledgement. Mm. You mentioned the concept of having fun, and we do have fun in the office. Building a culture, I think, you know, there's been sort of external comments when we first started the Brisbane office of Metropole of, oh, you know, culture was easy for you guys because you only had a few people or you started from scratch. But the reality is culture isn't something that just happens, is it?
No, it's not. No, you got to build that. And it's probably more about what you don't accept as well. So there's things you do accept, but there's also things you don't accept. And I think sometimes, you know, people will hold on to people in teams and carry people in teams when they're probably doing more damage than good. So there's a combination of things.
Yeah. So the good people are going to hang on to. The people that don't fit, you've really got to move them on, because they can just have that detrimental effect across the whole team, can't they?
They can, absolutely, 100%.
Mate, can I ask you, just on culture for a minute, how often, you know, in a week would you think about the culture in the business?
Well, we talk about it every day, probably every second day, you know, with what's happening. Obviously on a national level, but also we've got three big offices, but particularly in Brisbane as well, because we're here every day and we're looking after our staff and wanting to get the culture right. But, you know, expanding upon that and building on Sydney and Melbourne as well is really important to us as well.
It is one of those things that doesn't just happen. It does. It's something that you've actually got to work on a regular basis. All right. So let's quickly recap on this. We've spoken about how, you know, your view was that you knew you had a particular goal in mind and you just kept pushing forward. And when you got knocked back, it was just, you know, you just got back up again. I mean, I watched you get knocked back a couple of times and I'll be honest, I thought, oh, that's probably Brett will probably bail now.
Yep.
But you never did. Was there an element of you proving it to them or to you or both?
Probably them, yeah. I like being told I can't do something.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I always like that because, you know, it gives you, put some fire in your belly and you know, you want to prove yourself and you know you can do it yourself. So it's just a matter of, if you know you can do it yourself, it's just a matter of showing others you can. And
and
that's putting the runs on the board, like I said.
Yeah. So having that internal confidence and then reinforcing it with some external conduct and behavior and, as you say, runs on the board.
Yeah.
So that had to change for you. In terms of the changes that I saw within Metropole Management was just to actually stop and go, hang on a second, this guy just keeps showing up. This guy keeps producing stuff. And I guess the problem is that once you've been in a business for a period of time, in some ways it can become a little bit easier to overlook you because you're just always there.
Yes.
So I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind as well.
I think so too. And like I said before, you kind of I was a buyer's agent. I was probably pigeonholed a little bit. Buyer's agent, my knowledge is quite limited as what else I could do. And then, you know, so you had to kind of overcome that mentally from the business side of things as well.
Yeah. And then how have you seen the relationship? I mean, let's talk about Michael as the founder. How have you seen your relationship change with Michael over time?
Yeah, look, it's been a journey because I've always held Michael in high regard. Obviously, you know, when I first started working with him, I was a client of Metropole, but I wasn't working with him at the point of time. And, you know, saw him up on stage in the books and the podcast, and now you're kind of sharing those things with him. It's quite amazing, really. And now he's just become a really important mentor. He's helped me with a lot of things, and you know, I class him as a friend as well. I think, like yourself, you know, I think we all get on fairly well because we've all got similar morals and values, and we want to see our clients succeed and the business succeed. So, yeah, I guess him bringing me into his inner circle was a bit of a game changer, and obviously being his business partner and the director of the office, it's really kind of, you know, helped me get to that next level as well.
Yeah, yeah. But it's been a great journey to watch, and I think the big takeaway for me is to say to people, if you are in a business and you've got staff around you, just stop and have a look around and go, you know, is there somebody that I'm not really acknowledging? Is there somebody who is probably stepping up more than I'm giving them credit for? Is there somebody who has greater potential, or is maybe somebody, you know, in the wrong seat?
Yeah.
And then also I think the other thing then is working on culture. So you say, you know, you think about culture, and we talk about culture, I don't know, probably on a daily basis or certainly every second day we talk about culture.
Mm.
Is culture just confined to what goes on within the office?
No.
So is it okay to get involved in what's happening for your team personally?
I think you have to, yeah. I mean, you spend more time at work here with everybody than you do your own family. So I think, you know, there's always a line, I guess, but, you know, we like to get close to that line and be involved with people and support people as much as we can for the good and the bad and the ugly, and that's what makes a team, and that's what helps build culture, I think.
Yeah, there's a real theme here because in an earlier episode when I spoke to Tim and Felix from Bo Racking, one of the things that they said is that they consider their team to be, you know, family.
Yeah.
And so they really treat them like family. They look after them. And it's something that I see you do here. We are kind of a family, really, aren't we?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, mate, some great lessons. Thank you for joining us. It's fantastic. Great. Guys, that's a wrap for us, Mastermind for Business podcast. Hey, if you know somebody in professional practice or a small business that service business you think would benefit from this, please share the podcast, like it, subscribe, give us your comments. Love to hear anything else that you'd like to hear talked about on the podcast. If you are in a professional practice or service business and you would like to double your revenue, have your time in your business in 18 months or less, metropolemastermind.com.au if you want to get to the podcast. It's wherever you subscribe, or mastermindforbusiness.com.au. I'm Mark Creedon, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on the Mastermind for Business podcast. If you're ready to have a business that you're not a slave to, check out metropolemastermind.com.au or have a chat with Mark and the team at allthews.com.au. See what's possible.today.